Welcome, everybody, to Learning Disrupted.
Hi, my name is Lunar Jurgens.
My name is Bobby Bucari.
My name is Sydney Ledoux.
Hi, my name is Thomas Gascon.
A podcast where we discuss the major effects COVID had on modern education. We aim to shed some light on the effects of COVID that may not be as recognized, such as the expansion of technology, student mental health, and the state of educational financing. By informing students, parents, and educators on these topics, we hope to help students' confidence and affirmation in their academic careers, as well as highlight some things that educators may not understand about modern-day education following COVID. The effects of COVID have not disappeared since returning to in-person learning spaces, and expectations for students should be adjusted to match the conditions of the current educational experience. With that being said, let's begin episode one. Welcome home, the transition to online learning. Happy day to everyone listening. My name is Lunar Jurgens, and I'm going to be talking about the shift to online learning and whether or not online learning is comparable to in-person learning. Coming into this, I have some very strong opinions about online learning that I hope to change because I know that it can benefit many people in many other ways other than accommodating the pandemic, which, to be fair, really accelerated the advancement of technology and education. And you will hear more about that from my co-host Bobby in episode 3 of Learning Disrupted. That being said, the reason I have a sort of vendetta against online learning is simply because I despise my online learning experience. It was disorganized, I had just started high school, and it was a new school with none of my friends, and most of my classes felt couldn't be properly adapted to be online. It was either too difficult or I felt like I breezed through and I didn't get anything out of the course. Which leads me to the first resource I wanted to show you all today, which comes from a study done at the public university in China and published on the Journal of Computer Assisted Learning. In the study, they questioned 457 students with a decent distribution of gender, under versus grad students, and different areas of study like science, engineering, teaching, liberal arts, management, and so on. The researchers examined 6 areas of education experiences and their effects on student learning outcomes and student satisfaction. These 6 areas are system quality, course design, self-discipline, and then learner-learner interaction, learner-instructor interaction, and learner-content interaction. In short, the study found that all 6 areas had positive effects on students' learning outcomes and satisfaction, with the greatest impact being found in learner-content interaction, closely followed by system quality and course design. However, the study also states that, quote, "The success of online learning does not exclusively depend on technology and course design, but also involves student self-discipline and responsibility, especially when a large number of face-to-face courses are converted to online courses in a short period," end quote. Which, in my opinion, is a completely different subject to be covered, that of student well-being and mental health, which I will dive into a bit more later on and will be more thoroughly explored by my co-host Thomas in the next episode. But it is important that they mention that because at the end of the day, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So while the quality of a system and the design of the course can be made to maximize student outcomes and satisfaction, that doesn't change the factor that such a sudden change in learning environments, especially combining 2 completely different areas of your life, home and school, 96% of students are easily affected by external temptations, which was reported by Okta Berlana and Muslimenon in 2020 study. Now, I want to discuss this a bit because my school, granted it was a high school, stuck to the same systems that we were using in person with the addition of synchronous Zoom classes. And credit is given where credit is due because my county was already making efforts to reduce paper use and already had some fully online options for students prior to lockdown. But despite that, because the system was primarily made for in-person use and, like, ability to obviously do homework at home, I ended up feeling like the work I was doing was mind-numbing and brainless, and I gained close to nothing when it came to biology, algebra 2, or my Italian course. And I think the only course that I was somewhat satisfied with was my academy course, which was medicine-focused, and it was only because I was actually interested in it. This is why the study is changing my mind a bit, though, because I think if given better equipped systems that centers around maximizing learning entirely online, you'd probably find yourself with better outcomes. And with that, I want to transition into a quick discussion with a close friend of mine who was homeschooled before and during the pandemic.
Hello, my name is Madeline Milne. I am a aforementioned friend. And my experience of distance learning was a little bit different from Lunar's due to the fact that I was homeschooled before the lockdown came into effect. I remember when the lockdown first started, I was in a mixture of in-person and online programming. And the only real change was obviously to that in-person programming. It transitioned to fully online, where there was really zero guidance from the teachers. We were underprepared. Granted, this was not from an official school. This was from a co-op, which was very heavily designed to be in person. But regrettably, during that time, any of my courses there, we still completed homework through a vague set of deadlines, and I felt that I still learned from those courses, but any learner or learner instructor contact, mm-hmm. as previously mentioned, was completely lost, which in a homeschooled context, I definitely find valuable. My online courseware, it did, however, allow the opportunity for me to take courses at a local community college in an online setting, which previously had been inaccessible to me. Due to that, I was actually able to graduate with an associate's degree and a high school degree at the same time, massively due to distance learning during COVID.
And there you have it. Next up, I want to circle back around to the concept of student well-being. In the next episode, Thomas will unearth the lasting effect COVID had and isolation on mental health within the educational field. But I want to highlight the effectiveness of online learning in relation to these problems. I want to make it clear that while I'm discussing this, I am assuming the realness and presence of mental health issues, and I am analyzing if online education is functional in relation to that. The direct effects on student health will be covered in more depth in the next episode. My next resource I want to introduce is a study including over 5,500 university students in the Western Black region of Black Sea region of Turkey, and was published to the International Journal of Research and Business and Social Science. The study examines whether or not online learning is able to serve its purpose in substituting in-person learning. Some problems that are mentioned are usability of online tools, user support, and preparation of content to increase efficiency. Beyond this, the researchers examine student motivation, fulfillment, and optimism based on, quote, perceived social support, end quote, which I will come back to. And finally, the correlation between accessibility problems with online education being a cause for increased anxiety and pessimism, which directly affects student motivation and fulfillment. If we go back to the perceived social support, the study showed that even with high scores of PSS, students will exhibit a lack of motivation or incentive to complete work or truly absorb the content they're being given. Even when students know that there are options to help them, they are more likely to not take the extra assistance because they are at home. The integration of home and school is just not one that can be sprung on to students. I too am guilty of this. I am able to find myself in the right headspace for academics when I'm in an academic setting, and I find it much more effective having the ability to talk directly to teachers rather than send an email or find myself in their office hours scheduled at a specific time of the week, which may not be exactly when I need help. Along with that, the anxiety caused by the pandemic, fear of infection, and the pressure to carry on with education at such a rushed pace means these students are placed in a position where they have no chance of escaping the stress they're under. All interactions and tasks are completed in one place, home. And I'm open to the thought, though, that if not placed in a crisis scenario such as COVID, and rather the online learning was done for effectiveness in a person's life, or for accessibility purposes, or if that's just a preferred method, I'd love to hear how those experiences reflect on the consistent offer of online substitution prior to COVID. That being said, I want to hear what my homeschooled friend has to say on this matter.
So in terms of mental well-being, I had already had a mixture of online and in-person courseware previous to the pandemic, as previously discussed. But as everyone, the lack of social engagement was, I don't want to say detrimental because that's a bit dramatic, but it was not helpful. Especially I want to touch on one of the last points you mentioned of navigating the fact that it was a, you know, global pandemic. Mm-hmm. It was hard to focus on learning while trapped in a house with actually multiple immunocompromised family members and attempting to transition into hybridized learning again afterwards was unique due to that factor. But I definitely think everyone has their certain level of, you know, personability that if they have too much or if they have too little, they're going to go a little bit crazy. And I don't think that pandemic was helpful for people who fall on any side of that spectrum. Specifically in terms of education, again, as previously mentioned, the lack of access to teacher office hours and similar resources was definitely an impact on some of my grades, specifically in the courses I was taking when the pandemic hit. And yeah, I genuinely think it was a choice. It was effective for managing safety, and I wouldn't have made a different choice considering the health needs of my family. But it was not very effective in terms of the whole student rather than just their academic performance.
Mm-hmm. And if it's okay with you, I'd love to just have a conversation about different kinds of education like medical and dental school, stuff like that, in terms of online, right? So, like, how, like, what would that even look like, right? Like, would that, and would that even be effective, right? I mean, I was looking at some resources about it, and it just seems like it, I don't know. I've definitely heard a bit about, like, getting your nursing degree online, but it still just feels like if you're not able to have that kind of in-person, like, on, like, hands-on experience, it's just not going to be as enrichment or, like, worth and or like feeling students feeling fulfilled or being able to get exactly what they're looking for.
I fully agree. I actually took a few different science courses in a hybrid lab situation. So we did like half the labs in person and half the labs online. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, the online labs, even for something as simple as, you know, Chem 101 or Bio 101, were just so ineffective in actually teaching. I can't imagine taking an anatomy lab or anything like immunology, anything like that, in an online laboratory context. I will also say the online learning, the fact that it was offered in universities afterwards is fabulous for, as you said,
accessibility. Yeah, exactly.
But the kind of not standardization of what universities will accept hybrid or online credits is a further complication I feel like could be expanded upon.
Yeah, exactly. That too, yeah. Personally, I had a similar experience, but I mean, the class that I took when I took like the academy course class that I was talking about that was medicine based, it was so odd because sometimes we had to do like the labs where they would just like instruct us how to use like home objects to figure it out, right? Like I remember doing like the strawberry DNA lab that most medical students end up doing in like the very beginning of like their, like any science class, even any like biology class. And even so, there were a lot of times where the teachers, in my academy course would talk about, oh, well, we're just going to have to cut out some of this stuff because we're not able to do this in person and whatnot, right? Like we're supposed to do like a heart dissection, right? And we just didn't get to, we never got to. We did other things in other classes later, but we never actually got to examine a heart. And that just is so funky to me. And also I remember they also, made like a crime scene for previous years, right? So, for the first course for that class, and you like go in and you see just like this mannequin on the floor. And they, throughout the rest of the year, you're supposed to be like, you're learning things to try and like figure out how this girl died. And you learn a lot about diabetes and hearts and like DNA tests. You learn about hair and all this kind of stuff. And just, I just wish that I was able to have that in-person experience because I never got to like look at anything underneath a microscope or stuff like that. We just had to get pictures. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder to what degree that will impact your experience at university now.
Right.
Because I remember the fact that I already had experience with, you know, different histology aspects was so helpful in, you know, Bio 1107 and the PNV course I've taken already. Having that fundamental knowledge in histology is kind of implied in the courseware, which is unfortunate. And it's not rocket science, but still having that hands-on experience, as you mentioned, it's just crucial for the most fundamental of skills in these science-based medical-based courses.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining me today in my episode, Welcome Home, of the Learning Disrupted podcast. In the next episode, my co-host Thomas will go into more depth about the effects of COVID on student mental health and well-being and its implications on education. Until then, I'm Lunar Juergens. See you later, folks.